Boy, some people just don't know when to quit. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principal Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaelis.
And as usual, Barry, I'm very glad to be back with you and looking forward to continuing our discussion from yesterday.
Well, yes, and as folks who were with us, we were talking about a little bit more of the election breakdowns, and there are some pundits out there that are saying, oh, if only, oh, if only. And these pundits that we were talking about yesterday were saying, if in the four key battleground states of New Hampshire, Virginia, Florida, and Ohio, if only you could have changed the margin and given Mitt Romney another 333,908 votes, he would be president-elect today, because that would have swung 64 electoral votes that those four states possess from Barack Obama to Mitt Romney, changing the ultimate outcome of, I think it's 332 to 206 electoral votes to a 270 to 268, which was just breaking even, but it is the margin for victory. You need 270 exactly in order to win the Electoral College and thus win the presidency. Well, you know, we talked about that a little bit, Chuck, but as we were finishing up, you were bringing up another thought, and I wanted us to continue on with this a little bit, because we did some analysis of our own, and we found something very interesting. And then we want to talk about somebody else's analysis of what they consider was wrong with this last election cycle and why things turned out the way they did, and we want to kind of expose what's going on there. So, first of all, Chuck, as we said, you had a number of votes who voted non-major party. They went with either Gary Johnson of the Libertarian Party or Virgil Good of the Constitution Party or an independent or one of the handful who were running for, like, the Socialist Workers Party. However, those total votes altogether couldn't have swayed the outcome of the popular vote, and as we were looking specifically in Ohio, would not have changed the margin of victory in Ohio for Barack Obama in any significant way, unless, of course, you happen to be one of those people who want to exist in a fantasy world and say that every last vote that was cast for a non-major party candidate would have gone to Mitt Romney had it been a perfect world. Well, it would have had to have been an absolutely perfect world for that to have happened, Chuck. And of course, we know that even in perfect worlds, there is no such thing as a perfect world.
Let's talk about that for a second, because you and I heard over and over and over and over again until, you know, as we say, ad nauseum, ad infinitum, that a vote for a third party was a vote for Barack Obama. And it actually turns out, when you add the numbers up, that a vote for a third party was a vote for Mitt Romney. If you want to do that kind of silly math, which, as we've explained in the past, is extremely silly, because the vast majority of third-party votes went to parties that would have, had it all shaken out, would have, quote-unquote, belonged to a Democratic candidate.
Yeah, very much so. The Socialists, the Greens, the Workers' World Party, Roseanne Barr and the Natural Law Party all would have gone to the Democrat candidate had they not been on the ballot.
And realistically speaking, about 60% of Gary Johnson's votes would have gone to the Democrat as well.
Yeah, most likely. But, you know, the other thing we looked at, though, Chuck, and this is something I think because it bore some thinking as we were doing the Recording Issues program, we got to thinking about this, that possibly maybe there was another explanation besides those who went ahead and voted third party. And I think we found at least part of that explanation in the Ron Paul revolution. Yes, that's right, ladies and gentlemen. Ron Paul, who ran in the Republican primary for president, has some very loyal people who vote, and many people who were not fans of Ron Paul in the Republican Party use all kinds of, well, shall we say, creative and colorful ways of saying Ron Paul supporters' names in order to deride or be derogative. But what it gets down to, Chuck, is that Mitt Romney and the Republican Party made a gross miscalculation, and it cost them the presidency. So I'm going to state it flat out. The snubbing of Ron Paul and the Ron Paul delegates, the work that was done at the Republican convention to change the rules of the party in order to shut them out, and basically treating them like pariahs. They ran and told libertarians, they were really directing that at Ron Paul supporters, that they had no place else to go and that they had to vote for Mitt Romney because he represented more of what they believed in than Barack Obama did. And we talked about that on previous programs. Well, that turned out to be a gross political miscalculation because very well could have made the significant difference for Mitt Romney had they embraced, courted, accepted in, and worked with the Ron Paul contingent in the electorate.
Well, let me just tell you, Barry, that now that you bring that up, the same people that were calling me a Paul Bot and a Paul Tard, two very nice names, were the same people who were coming to me and telling me I needed to support Mitt Romney because he was pro-life, pro-Second Amendment, and he was all for nuclear and coal and gas for electric production. And I have to laugh about that. These are the people that are accusing me of being brainless who accepted these things on their face. So the contention is just absolutely silly. And these are also the same people who are making these accusations now that somehow had third-party voters all gone to their natural homes, that somehow Mitt Romney would have come out on top. And the numbers just aren't there the same way that Mitt Romney's record as a conservative just wasn't there.
Right.
Or a constitutionalist.
But some of the numbers were fairly interesting because, and I believe some folks from the Ron Paul support put these numbers together, they looked at the number of votes that Ron Paul received in the primary in those four battleground states, each individually, versus the margin of difference between Barack Obama and Mitt Romney. And Chuck, it was pretty telling. Basically, in three of the four states, if all of the Ron Paul primary votes would have gone to Mitt Romney, he would have won those states. Without a doubt, he would have won those states.
Exactly.
And in the fourth, it was fairly close.
It was very close. Yeah, basically, Barry, and I can assure you that there were a whole lot of people that voted for Ron Paul in the primary who did not vote for Mitt Romney in the general.
Yes.
And I can...
And I think you know a couple of them, yes.
Well, you and me, for two. I voted for Ron Paul in the primary, but not for Mitt Romney in the general.
Right.
And I'm proud to say that. And I know other people in the Ron Paul camp that felt the same way. And these are people that evangelicals could take a lesson from because they were voting on principle, not on party. Every person that I know that voted for Ron Paul voted for principle's sake, not for party's sake. And every evangelical that I know who was a Mitt Romney didn't like him, didn't want to be supporting him, but voted for him because that's what the party had to offer. And that includes a lot of people who I used to have a lot of respect for that are leaders in the evangelical community. A number of people whose websites I follow and still do follow because they have people who voted principle. And a number of evangelical leaders who, for instance, Dr. James Dobson said he would never, ever vote for someone like Mitt Romney for president. In 2000, he said, as God is my witness, I will never vote for a candidate who doesn't do this, that, and another thing. And he turned right around and endorsed Mitt Romney in this election cycle. And it just goes to show what we've been saying all along. It wasn't about ideology. It was about fear. They were more in fear of a Barack Obama than they were in agreement with the ideology of Mitt Romney, which they knew to be wrong and yet went along with this fiction that he was somehow a conservative candidate. Now, that being said, that means a lot of people who voted for Ron Paul in the primary, in the Republican primaries, distributed their vote to Gary Johnson, the Constitution Party, or sat home. And in fact, in Ohio, Ron Paul got 113,000 votes. The difference between Mitt Romney and Barack Obama in Ohio was about 103,000 votes. What's that tell you? Now, we can't say for certain that a lot of those people didn't vote in that election for Romney, but not very many of them did. So, how did the strategy of abusing Ron Paul supporters, calling us Paul Tards and Paul Bots, and keeping their delegates from taking their seats at the convention and not allowing them in when the rules were changed and you know, goes on and on and on and on, the abuses that were heaped on Ron Paul delegates. How'd that strategy work out for Mitt Romney?
Not so well.
It looks like it didn't work out well at all, and in fact, it may have cost him the presidency.
Right. Well, of course, though, it very well may, but certain people tend to want to use these type of things to really grind axes. Now, I hope that our listeners don't believe that we're really trying to grinding axe here, because we're not specifically, because everybody's vote's up to them and they have to do what they have to do. And frankly, you know, Chuck, you and I both are big proponents of proportional distribution of electoral college votes, i.e. the Nebraska and Maine models of awarding electoral college delegates instead of the winner take all scenario. So we're really open to having more than just a couple of candidates in a race. We think that's a great idea, but there are some people, some people just can't seem to quite get over the idea that this country is wanting more than just two choices. That the either-or philosophy isn't selling with the American public right now. And that one of the people who seems to have trouble grasping that is Ohio's own Secretary of State, John Houston. And Secretary Houston, as the chief elections officer of the state of Ohio, obviously was paid some attention to during this election cycle. And this last Friday, the Columbus Dispatch newspaper had an article where Secretary of State Houston is saying that really what he wants to do is have some kind of a law statute on the books regarding early voting and when voting in person early is going to be allowed, when it's not, so that there's not all this going back and forth to court and directives in different counties doing it different ways. And that's all fine and well. And I'm sure that since the Republicans are in control of both the House and the Senate in Ohio, then that's probably what's going to end up happening. They'll probably pass a law to kind of rein that in, maybe even get rid of that, what they call the Golden Week, which is the idea of being able to register and vote the same day. But they're probably going to wait until things cool down a little bit and try to do it in the next cycle of the General Assembly. But as they had this interview with Secretary Houston, they asked him some questions about some of the issues around the election. And Chuck, this was the one that really stood out, because basically it seems that the secretary is chewing on some sour grapes himself, and he is upset. And he's upset about a United States Supreme Court ruling. And everybody's saying, well, wait a minute, what Supreme Court ruling is he upset about? Obamacare? No, he really hasn't weighed in on that at all. He's upset about a Supreme Court decision in the case called Citizens United. Now, Chuck, you and I know a little bit about Citizens United, and so do many of our friends in the evangelical community, because that's the case that when the Supreme Court ruled, allowed nonprofits, especially those of that have a 501c4, which is the Institute for Principal Policy and others, that they opened the door to allow those groups who before were prohibited from doing so, now are able, under this ruling, to endorse and support candidates in elections instead of just being issue-oriented. Well, that's not sitting too well with Secretary Houston, and who's basically said that that decision was, quote, awful for Republicans. He says, we managed to prolong a presidential election campaign in the primary where people who otherwise could not raise enough money stayed in the race, pounded our eventual nominee, made him go so far out of the mainstream on the positions he had to take to get through the election that he was damaged goods. Now, Chuck, let's parse this for a couple seconds, shall we?
Let's translate it.
He says, we prolonging a presidential campaign in the primary. I like the idea that the states, the people of the states get to choose and that there are multiple choices. Now, I didn't support the vast majority of primary contendees. I know you were a little warm toward Michelle Bachmann, but we were both, you know, favorable of Ron Paul, but neither one of us really liked Rick Santorum, or I was supporting Tim Pawlenty when he first got in the race. You know, I'll just be quite apparent about that. But the point was that as it went on and people came in and fell out of the race, it still left some options for voters to vote on who they felt would be the best candidate. Now, he doesn't like that. John Houston doesn't seem to like that. I think he wants the party bigwigs to pick one person and say, this is the guy you're going to vote for, and for everybody just to say, okay.
And that's what he wants.
Well, he wants quick and short primaries where the guy with the most money, and I say that because of what he said, the guy with the most money already coming into the thing should be the nominee, because he said here, people who otherwise could not raise enough money stayed in the race. Well, Chuck, the point is, with Citizens United, it allowed organizations who would like to give the candidates that they supported money, they were able to do so now, which then leveled the playing field against the big party apparatus who funnels money to their chosen candidate.
You know what, Barry? I looked at the clock. We're way over time.
Oh, boy. Let's hang on to this till tomorrow, then.
Join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies, where we'll finish up this discussion.